relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
Everybody else may be having a day off or running reruns and bests of. We don't do that here. We give you content that is original because we love radio and we respect you too much. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. And I'm so excited. He has supported us, I think, pretty much from the get-go. Come in studio every single week with his connections, his analysis. He is Washington Politics for the most influential website out there. It's Breitbart.com. Number one on our list of the 30 most influential conservative websites out there. His name is Matthew Boyle. Matt. Who calls you Matthew? Who calls you Matt?
It's a little bit of a mix. I go by Matthew in the byline, but most people call me Matt, or some people
call
me
Boyle.
What about
your family? When you get in trouble, are you Matthew?
If I'm in trouble, it's Matthew, yeah. So if not, it's just Matt. So,
well, then here you will be Matt. Okay, you will be Matt.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this whole hour today. For those, it's one of the most popular segments of the week. Mm-hmm. You and Jen Horn, who gives us our West Coast update from the craziness that is Los Angeles. For those who aren't familiar with the man who is Matt Boyle, will you fill us in on how you got to be Washington political editor for Breitbart, where you started, did you know Andrew Breitbart? So who is Matthew Boyle?
Yeah, so I started at Breitbart a little over 7 years ago now. So it was late November, early December 2012, right after the 2012 election. I moved over to Breitbart. My first job in political media was at Daily Caller, where I worked for about 2.5-3 years.
Tucker Carlson's Daily Caller.
Yeah, so I worked for Tucker very closely.
Oh, wow.
So he was one of my editors there. We worked on a lot of different stories together. I actually knew Andrew Breitbart really well, so we were very good friends.
While you were Daily Caller.
While I was at Daily Caller, and he passed away, of course, in early 2012, right after CPAC and the earlier part of 2012. I'd always talked to Andrew about potentially coming over to work for Breitbart, but never actually pulled the trigger until later in the year. I moved over right after the 2012 election because we were kind of looking at things and we saw how Mitt Romney failed so badly against Barack Obama in that election. And part of the analysis that I was watching from most of the establishment in the media, the Republican establishment, the Democrat establishment, was all wrong. I mean, they were saying the reason why Romney lost was because he wasn't open borders enough. He didn't support amnesty, and the Republicans had turned off the Latino vote and so on and so forth. And I was like, that's a fundamental miscalculation. And then you saw, of course, in 2013, the big push for the amnesty bill,
right,
the Gang of Eight bill. And that's when you saw this lone voice in the U.S. Senate kind of come forward, which was Jeff Sessions.
Yes.
And he later became Trump's attorney general, and everybody knows.
And the first senator to endorse candidate Trump.
Right. And the first senator to endorse candidate Trump. But Sessions kind of emerged as this, like, leader of the MAGA movement before there was a MAGA, before there was a Trump.
The new version of the Tea Party, if you
will.
Yeah.
It was kind of a more of a nationalist tinge of the Tea Party was very on the left-right scale, just on the right, anti-Obama. This movement, this America First nationalism type movement, which focuses on immigration, trade, et cetera, kind of more of a top down. It's like the populist versus the elites type of a thing. And so, and you see many of the Democrats, guys like Bernie Sanders used to stand up against the open borders lobby. They don't anymore. But you saw many of the Democrats kind of abandon that space where they would stand up for American workers. In fact, the black community in particular, Coretta Scott King wrote an infamous letter back in 1993 standing up against the open borders crew.
Who are taking jobs from African Americans.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. And so this was a big deal. And so when the Democrats abandoned that and went full bore for open borders and the Republican establishment was gleeful to go along with it, that's when I kind of made a decision and you saw this in the immediate aftermath of the 2012 election, right? Within days, Republicans had made their minds up, the establishment Republicans, that we got to do open borders. And I was like, this is wrong. They're all making the miscalculation. It's that Romney didn't fight hard enough. And
yes.
And by the way, I will say this. We were proven correct later by Donald Trump when he ran against open borders and fought hard enough.
Right.
Donald Trump proved that analysis correct in 2016. But that's the kind of the genesis of how and why I moved from Daily Caller to Breitbart, the background of that. So I had started at Daily Caller out of college. So when I got a journalism degree at Flagler College in St. Augustine, Florida, I'd kind of bounced around the country a little bit before that because my dad worked for supermarket companies and they were being sold one to another to another. And
so you're moving around.
So I grew up in Massachusetts. We moved to Idaho when I was a senior in high school. From there, we moved to Minnesota when I was in college. So I did a little bit at Boise State, a little bit at a community college in Minnesota, finished down in Florida at this small school, Flagler College in St. Augustine, got my journalism degree, was moving up here for a master's degree at American University. And having grown up in Massachusetts and again gone through the academic world of journalism professors and whatnot, I wasn't always a conservative. I grew up on the left, and so
When did the switch happen?
When I graduated, the year that I graduated college was 2010, and that was the year you were seeing Tea Party rallies across the country. And during that time frame, I'm getting ready to move from St. Augustine, Jacksonville, Florida, to D.C. for a master's at American University, and I never ended up finishing my master's. I'll get to that in a minute. But so I moved to D.C. For the master's degree program, and I was trying to look for freelance work anywhere I could get it. The only place that actually called me back was a Daily Caller, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll cover some stuff for them. So I go out to cover some Tea Party rallies, first in Florida, then up here in D.C., and I go out there literally looking for all the racists that I heard about in the media, and I couldn't find any racists.
You couldn't find any racists
at
Tea Party?
I couldn't find any racists, so I was like, okay, well, if they're wrong about this, then
what else are they wrong about?
By the time I show up at American University in the late summer,
pretty flipping left wing university,
right? I show up very skeptical of everything, and within weeks, they're force feeding us like school assignments of America, explain why, and things like that.
Oh,
and one was they wanted us to go do some glorious, generous profile of Michelle Obama's vegetable garden at the White House. And fake nonsense. And by the way, many of these people that I was in this class with, and I ended up leaving in the middle of the program, Andrew Breitbart, who I got to know really well while I was there, and Tucker both talked me into leaving the master's degree in the middle of it.
Come and do some real
after
journalism.
A semester and a half. Yeah. And so I went full time as a reporter at the Daily Caller. But one of the things that was really interesting is many of these people that I was in the program with there, they work at places like CNN, The Washington Post,
right.
The New York Times,
Huffpo,
USA Today, all of those different places now. And so you get to see the factory that creates this streamline of people that don't think for themselves. They don't have critical thinking skills.
Did I ever tell you my American University story?
No, you didn't.
So about 2-3 weeks into the administration, my wife, who's also a political appointee, is driving home from DHS headquarters where she works, and she drives past American University, and there are these kids outside demonstrating with placards holding signs up, and she's slowing down, and she looks, and she's on the phone with our daughter, who's also in college, says, they're protesting Daddy. And there were signs that said, get the effing Nazi Gorka out of the White House. These kids marching around America.
And my wife, who is not, she does not do confrontation. Okay, mm-hmm. She grew up in a WASP right. family. Right. East Coast does not do it. She said, what do I do? I'm going to stop the car. She stopped the car, got out, walked over to these totally indoctrinated little millennial, mm-hmm. you know, drones right. and said, what is that based upon? What's your evidence for that? Do you know that's been debunked? Do you know that Rabbi Billet Hershel of New York, do you know that David Horowitz has said this is all garbage? And, oh, by the way, I'm his wife. And then they're just like, they got this expression, like their jaws dropped and they had no response. These kids at AU totally, utterly indoctrinated. It's clear that some professor or somebody had given them the placard, given this, go march out there because Gorka's a Nazi. But this is America, man.
Yeah, and look, that experience was so enlightening for me because, I saw that firsthand when I was there, is that professors were pushing a leftist agenda classroom.
Right.
Yeah, in the classroom, in journalism classrooms, and they were pushing us to be biased, to be in favor of the various positions,
because
then to present it as though you're
right?
not.
Because you're the good guys, and Republicans are bad guys.
Yeah, and so that really was another. So that while I was and then during that time frame, I'm writing part time for Daily Caller, and that was very enlightening. And so then I eventually left the AAO program, went full time as a reporter at the Daily Caller. And started breaking all sorts of stories, never looked back.
The genesis of the man who has become the Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website, it's Breitbart.com, and our very special guest on this special day is none other than Matthew Boyle. His friends call him Matt. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Nancy Pelosi. How careless of me. I've made you all wet.
Yes, but my martini is still dry. My name is Dr. G.
Welcome back to America First on this very special day. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump, and we have our guest in studio, Matt Boyle, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. My friends, have you used the incredible offer from our buddy guest host, Mike Lindell, the genius behind MyPillow.com. If you use my name, if you're a member of our family, you'll get the biggest discounts he has ever offered on TV or radio. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-829-8468. That's 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Secret promo code for up to 40% off and free shipping. G-O-R-K-A. Do it now. You won't regret it. Matt Boyle. You've talked to us, fascinating history of your journey towards journalism, your understanding of the pipeline, the conveyor belt of left-wing journalists that you witnessed in your master's program. Then you arrive at Daily Caller, but you get to know this, there is no better word for this iconoclast, Andrew Breitbart. You get to know him well, you end up working for his company, Breitbart.com, after he passes far, far too early. Share with our listeners, those who weren't familiar with Andrew when he was alive, who was Andrew Breitbart and why is he so special in terms of the conservative movement in America today, even after his death?
So Andrew is somebody who, in addition to founding Breitbart and the various verticals that we have, like our which we've kind of all merged into
like
a
big
bigger,
Hollywood.
Yeah, we've kind of merged big Hollywood, big government, and all the other sections into one big Breitbart.com. But before that, I mean, he worked for the Drudge Report, so he was an editor for the Drudge Report.
He helped
create the Huffington Post with Arianna right. Huffington.
Before she went crazy.
But in addition to that, he kind of emerged during the Tea Party movement and in the lead up to that as this kind of lone voice in the wilderness who was
also a former left-wing guy, right?
In Tulane,
he was a Democrat.
many of the best conservatives are former lefties.
Some of them are born conservatives.
Some of the best conservatives are born conservatives. Some of the best.
Have a conversion.
By the way, I think Clarence Thomas is a convert.
I saw the movie. He was a radical in college. A hardcore left-wing radical. And look at him now.
Originalist
on the Supreme Court.
So look, I love all conservatives, whether they're converts or whether
they
come
from.
Right. But the point is that some of the best ones out there are converts. I think Matt Drudge is a convert too.
Oh, interesting.
I think there's a lot of different converts out there. But the point is that Andrew...
Oh, can we just stop for a second? Mm-hmm. And since you mentioned it, so Andrew was a left-wing, he admits in his autobiography, kind of unthinking left-wing kid at Tulane.
That was very much like me. I wasn't necessarily out there championing the left. I just was,
But it was the Clarence Thomas hearings that made Andrew go, hang on. What's going on here? And that was a catalyst for him. So tell us about this man.
Yeah, so he was during this grassroots uprising, the Tea Party movement that later would become like the America First MAGA movement. But the during this Tea Party movement in 2009, 2010, 2011, Andrew Breitbart is out there giving speeches across the country. And he's this lone voice in the wilderness that... I look back on these speeches a lot, and I'll look back at different things that he said and different things that he did. I think he was like prophetic in that the way that he saw Hollywood, the media, Wall Street, the Democrats, the left, even the Republican establishment.
A uniparty.
Yeah, exactly. A uniparty of the haves against the have-nots. The uniparty of the elites against everybody else.
Right.
And their disdain for people and the way that they work together and the connections between them and so on and so forth. And he was speaking out against this, and nobody else was. And by the way, what they taught us in journalism school, and it was a lie to the rest of them, but it makes themselves feel good, is that they – and this gets back to like the beginning story – is that we're supposed to give voice to the voiceless.
Yes.
We're supposed to speak truth to power. We're supposed to challenge authority. And so I'm learning all this in school, and we're being taught all these high-minded ideals. And then the rest of these people are going out there to work at places like CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times, et cetera. And they're not doing it. They're helping them cover up the elites engage in this theft of power from the average people. And so I was like, wait, I actually do believe in those things. I do believe in giving a voice to regular people out there, a voice to the voiceless. And
which is the Tea Party.
That's the point, right? Like,
right.
And so I do believe in speaking truth to power and holding those in powerful positions accountable. I do believe in standing up to corruption on both sides of the aisle. So anyway, the long story here is that Andrew was this guy speaking out against all of this stuff, and then he was doing something about it. He was building a website and a place that was designed to a media organization that was designed to challenge the institutional left, that was designed to challenge the institutional media, that was designed to challenge the conventional wisdom. And that's what we've tried to carry on since his passing, is that we're trying to do that. And the way that you beat the institutional left, the way that you beat the institutional media, the way that you beat these people is you build a new one that's better.
I never had the honor of meeting Andrew Breitbart. I worked as an editor for national security at Breitbart before I joined the White House. Mm-hmm. But his autobiography was truly seminal. I don't read autobiographies as a rule, but it's perhaps one of the most important books I've read in the last 20 years. It's called Righteous Indignation. And that's how I got to know his legacy. How important, in the last couple of minutes we have in this segment with Matt Boyle, how important or how central to his message is that you never, ever give up, you never stand down when it comes to bullies?
I sign off every single one of our radio shows, and I host our weekend radio shows. I sign off everyone with the saying, never give up, never surrender, don't back down. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the central message. You cannot give in to these people. You cannot back down. At the same time, you always tell the truth. Right.
Right.
Like, so we strive to be accurate, but we also don't back down. We do not get pushed around by these people, and they will push you around. They will
Well, they'll try and destroy you. They will try and destroy you. Right. That's what Alinsky taught the left. That's the playbook they're using now, whether you're Clarence Thomas, whether you're Judge Kavanaugh, or whether you're the President of the United States. They want, it's the politics of personal destruction. That's why you never let them smell blood. That's why you never apologize. You never back down. To quote another former Breitbart employee, you got to go full honey badger. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios with my friend Matthew Boyle. Matt Boyle to his buddies. Tag him on Twitter because we will get him back. It's 2020 and he will be back on that battlefield. MBoyle1. If you're enjoying our long-form interviews, join my club today. It's called Gorka's Cabinet. It's my exclusive subscription service. You get full access to this show all 3 hours, no commercial breaks, and plus unique content you will not find anywhere else. Behind-the-scenes videos, interviews, and my take on the real news behind the fake news industrial complex. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join today. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Back with the one and only Matt Boyle of Breitbart.com after these messages.
With the deepest voice in talk radio, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
You know, there's something special about talk radio. There's also something extra special about the long form. My mentor, the person I try and emulate is John Batchelor, who for me is the master of the long form. Check out his incredible radio show, 4 hours a night on WABC. And we're trying here today, and it's a lot of fun. With our friend for the whole hour on this special day, he's Matt Boyle, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. Tag him on Twitter, MBoyle1. Matt, you've talked about your career, how it all got started. We've talked about Andrew Breitbart, this seminal figure on the right, who I think personally, Donald Trump would not have been a phenomenon the way he is without the tools that Andrew left us. Let's talk about your organization now. A couple of weeks ago on this show, you shared with us the incredible statistics that when it comes to social media, Facebook and everything else, Breitbart's got everybody whipped, no?
Yeah, so kind of rewinding a little bit there, after Andrew's passage passed in 2012, and then I came over in later that year, and there's a huge, amazing team with Alex Marlow, Joel Pollack, others here
Francis
as well.
Martel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there was a core team, Brandon Darby, that were here after Andrew passed away. So what we've set out to do is to carry on his legacy.
Keep his legacy alive.
Right. And that legacy was to beat the establishment media. We are in this to win. We do not want to play games. We want to beat the New York Times. We want to beat CNN. We want to beat the Washington Post. And on that note, we are now bigger than the Washington Post. According to Amazon Alexa's traffic statistics, we have more traffic to Breitbart.com than the Washington Post gets to its website. So we are beating the Washington Post now head to head. And the Washington Post, and by the way, the owner of the Washington Post also owns Amazon. So that
Bezos,
is the
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Right.
So they're admitting that we're bigger than them.
It's
the Washington
metric.
Post has admitted that Breitbart has defeated them. We have won. We are very close to defeating the New York Times and CNN. But when it came to social media statistics from September 1st to the end of the year last year in 2019, according to Vice, a leftist publication,
right,
Breitbart defeated the New York Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and USA Today combined in social media interactions on Facebook. We beat all four of them combined. We also beat CNN and MSNBC each head to head. So let me.
We've got a couple of minutes in this segment. When I went into the White House, it was dark days for Breitbart. For some reason, you didn't get the access you deserved in the beginning. You were being hammered by the left wing, by Media Matters, trying to get advertisers to boycott you. There was that tiff with the Mercers, and I thought, my gosh, what's going to happen? But you have rallied. You have come back as an entity stronger than you were before the 16 election. In a couple of minutes we have in this segment, Matt Boyle, what do you think is the secret to Breitbart's success? For me, one of the key ones is you call balls and strikes on both sides. Is it that simple?
Yeah, so we'll call out the Republicans when they're wrong, and we do it all the time. But at the same time, we just don't back down. We just keep doing what we do best. And if we weren't taking flack like that, we wouldn't be over the target. Okay, so we know that we're making a difference. We've got the head of the New York Times, the executive editor of the New York Times, Dean Baquet, is out there talking about which institution is going to last longer. So he seems to think that theirs is
the establishment
media. But
the gray lady is worried.
The gray lady is terrified of us. And I'll tell you, they think they're going to win, which is fine. They can think that all they want to. But the fact of the matter is the fact that we're inside their heads as much as we are, it demonstrates that we're winning. And there's a reason why we're able to do what we do. And it's because our team works very hard.
Yes.
We cover these major stories, major news events as best we can. We just seek to call it like it is. We don't care who's up, who's down. We just try to cover the stories the best we can. And honestly, as we can.
Your investigative pieces are stellar. Give me the word count for your longest investigative piece, Matt Boyle.
I think the longest story I've ever published is about 12,000 words long. But my average is definitely in the thousands. It's definitely around probably 2,000 or 3,000
words. Because he does the work. Follow this man at Breitbart.com. Get the app. Check it every morning, every evening. Breitbart.com like we do. There's a reason we put it at the top of our 13 most influential conservative websites, Breitbart.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We are live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. We're going to post all 3 hours on Instagram TV as soon as we're done. Don't forget, we're available on the iTunes app. If you look for our podcast, My Name Sebastian Gorka, America First. Also, 24/7, the show cycles video and audio at sebgorka.com, SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, where you can also join my exclusive subscription service, Gorka's Cabinet. Back with Breitbart's Matt Boyle after these messages.
I'm Joe Billionaire. I made widgets. I sold those widgets. I made billions selling those widgets, making those widgets. Therefore, those billions of dollars are mine. Why am I the enemy of healthcare?
Well, you didn't make those widgets, did you? Because you employed thousands of people and paid them less than a living wage to make those widgets for you. You didn't make those widgets. You sat on a couch while thousands of people were paid modern-day slave wages, and in some cases, real modern-day slavery, depending on where you are in terms of food production. You made that money off the backs of undocumented people. You made that money off of the backs of black and brown people being paid off a living wage, under a living wage. You made that money off of the backs of single mothers, and all of these people who are literally dying. Because they can't afford to live. And so no one ever makes $1 billion. You take $1 billion.
Remarkable, remarkable audio from the recent MLK event on Martin Luther King Day with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where this face of the Democrat Party said that the Steve Jobs, the Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musks of this world just sit on a sofa while they take billions of dollars from people who are equivalent to slaves and who are actually dying in their companies right now. I have to ask Matt Boyle, because he is so plugged into the body politic in this swamp that is D.C., Do these people believe what they're saying? Does AOC really think that there's modern slavery today in America? What do you hear?
I mean, I think that they're part of the reason why you're seeing the left get as unhinged as they are is because, in getting back to what we've talked about throughout the course of the hour here, is that as we're winning, they're starting to panic a little bit. And so So you're seeing them take more and more radical positions because they're losing power to try to regain that power.
As the president keeps on winning, they get more and more desperate.
She may or may not believe the nonsense that she just laid out in that clip or in any of these other clips. But and some of them may believe it. Some of them may be just saying it to. But the big picture here is that they are pushing this stuff as an effort to try to regain control and power. As the right has finally gotten its act together under President Trump and under what we've kind of been doing in the lead up to President Trump and during the Trump presidency, the Republican Party has gotten a lot stronger and a lot better. And so what you're seeing is the left is getting more and more unhinged. The establishment media, the mask is slipping. The mask is slipping in Hollywood.
Right.
So, again, this gets back to the whole Andrew Breitbart thing. The prophet talked about this stuff,
yes.
Right? Like, he saw this all coming from what these leftist politicians, what these media people, what these Hollywood people were doing and saying. And it wasn't necessarily as overt back then because they were much more – they had much more control. They had much more power than they do now. And that's been slowly but surely taken away from them as newer institutions like Breitbart, like what President Trump has done – have been taking that authority and power away from these people, from these failed leaders of the past. And so as they've been losing that, you see people like AOC rise up, and what they're doing is they're out there spreading quite clearly misinformation regarding people who are successful in this in society to try to get those regular folks back on their side. And to try to reclaim the power that they've lost. So that's the way I look at that from is that I don't know if she believes the BS that she's spreading or not. Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't. But the reason why she's spreading it is because it's a power grab. It's all about power. It's all about control with these people.
I have a sense she believes it, but you're right. It is about a power grab. Now, I don't want to give advice to the Democrats. We know Media Matters monitors us. Guys, are you typing away? You're like the cat on the laptop. Keep typing. But if I were a prominent Democrat figure, member of the squad or whatever, career guy, and I really wanted to ride the wave of populism, general populism around the world, I find it very easy to differentiate myself from every other candidate the Democrats have, by just being sane and normal. Going back to the JFK, Scoop Jackson kind of Democrats, the Blue Dogs, why is nobody exploiting that very clear competitive edge by trying to be a normal on the left? Because I think they'd be popular.
Because the DNC and the Democrat establishment, they won't let them. I mean, look, you saw the disaster with the Iowa caucuses earlier this month.
Utterly.
That is Tom Perez's responsibility.
The establishment.
Yeah, the establishment wing of the Democrat Party will not allow such a candidate. By the way, I would argue that one person who is trying to do that from the left is Tulsi Gabbard. So
with some kooky craziness
there
mixed in.
There are definitely kooky craziness mixed in. But in terms of for a Democrat,
yeah.
I mean, look, she voted president on the impeachment stuff.
Yang?
Yang is another one who's very similar.
Right.
They're both kind of going for that honesty lane. Semi-sane lane. And, I mean, yes, are they still Democrats? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. Like, you're not going to see me out there voting for Tulsi Gabbard or Andrew Yang, but they're different than what Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden and Mike Bloomberg are pushing. All of the rest of them they've bought into this Democrat Party machine power politics machine. And so and that machine needs to be broken first before it can be rebuilt in a proper way that allows such a candidate to succeed. So until such time as that machine is broken, we are where we are with the Democrats.
Well, we're just about 250 days away from the election that could be the final straw and could break the Democrat Party, and they finally have to look in the mirror and say, okay, enough with the crazy. It's up to us, guys. That's why we're here in America First. We are in a culture war, and I'm happy to be on the front line with great buddies like Matt Boyle. Check his writings out every single day at Breitbart.com and tag him on Twitter, mboyle1. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you haven't read it,
Read Andrew Breitbart's autobiography. It is incredible. Righteous Indignation. Chapter 6 is one of the most important things you'll ever read, and it was the stimulus, the catalyst for my own writing of my latest book, The War for America's Soul. Check them both out. Righteous Indignation by the late Andrew Breitbart and The War for America's Soul by yours truly. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid, and putrid swamp that is Washington, D.C.
Russia? Ukraine? Impeachment? What the hell was that all about?
That is a question of the ages. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Our guest is Matt Boyle of Breitbart.com. He is keeping the torch lit, the legacy of Andrew Breitbart. In the last few minutes we have with you, Matt, what is your message to those, especially young people in America? Maybe they want to be journalists, they're trying to be journalists, or maybe they're just conservatives who are afraid to be known as conservatives. What is your message to those who are fearful of the left today?
Well, I would say, first off, the left, the tactic that they use is they often create a crisis. And then what's that saying? Never let a crisis go to waste.
Rahm Emanuel.
And then they use the chaos around a crisis to try to push whatever they're pushing through. So my advice is that in any time, and you see this on a mini scale, sometimes it happens in a few hour span. Sometimes it happens in a years long span, right, and everything in between. And so my advice is stay as calm as possible and tell the truth. As long as you stay calm and you don't let them get you worked up and you stick to the facts and continue to just tell the truth, then you're going to win. The truth always wins in these fights.
Has it been tough to be a Washington political editor for Breitbart.com?
I mean, the attacks are endless. I mean, we get attacked by the left, by the establishment all the time. I mean, I've had attacks against me personally. It happens a lot. But if you don't let it get to you and you just stay focused, yeah, on, again, just the mission at hand here is we are trying to tell the truth about what's happening in any given story of the day. And then the broader mission is that we are trying to defeat and then replace the establishment media and the failed politicians and institutions. So if we keep that broader mission in mind and focus, we're going to win.
Well, I never met the man, but I have full certitude that he is looking down on Matt Boyle, on Alex Marlow, Francis Martel, Joel Pollack, all the great people working at Breitbart.com today. And he has a smile on his face, a twinkle in his eye, because they are keeping up the lesson of what he left us. Never, ever surrender to the bullies. Never give up, never give in. Read Righteous Indignation by the late Andrew Breitbart. Check out every single day everything my guest has to write. Matt Boyle at Breitbart.com. Make sure you download the app. And remember, as always, my friends, we're here for one reason and one reason alone. Love. Love of what? Love of country and love of liberty. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Watch your six. Keep your head on a swivel. Never give up. Never give in. And as always, if you're listening to this show, my friends, stay frosty.